You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0, we have a liftoff. We have a liftoff and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center. The second pilot is moving off the tail. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and this week I am joined by the host of one of our sister shows on the ESO Network, the Revolution SF Podcast's own Gary Mitchell. Welcome aboard, Gary.
It's good to be aboard. Ladder was a bit of a climb, but you know.
Well, it's good to finally have you on. Should have had you on a long time ago. I don't know, but just we have our own shows and we've kind of, you know, done parallel things. And so we haven't crossed over much lately. So this is nice.
Yes, very nice.
And the reason in particular that Gary happens to be on today is that Gary is the co-director of the American Sci-Fi Classics track. I believe I'm getting that name right. Chris?
Correct.
Yeah, there's several tracks with similar names, so you have to be careful, at Dragon Con. And it is one of the many awesome programming tracks that Dragon Con offers each year. It really is like a combination of a bunch of small conventions all at the same time in kind of the same place, isn't it?
That's the way I always describe it to people. It's like 20 conventions going on at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there are some people that like never leave certain track rooms, and then there's people that bounce everywhere. And
yeah.
I'm more of a bounce everywhere kind of guy.
It's like the buffet of conventions, and some people just keep eating the salad or eating the steak, you know, and some people get a little bit of everything. So, yeah, I've always been the buffet type myself. But so with about a month to go – by the time this airs, I know, it's unbelievable. About a month ago until Dragon Con 2015, I thought that you and I would chat about what goes on in your track, get people excited about it, maybe want to come check it out if they haven't before, if they've been, like, stuck in the potato salad track rather than over in the steak where you live, right?
That's right.
That's right. And because it is, absolutely. I mean, all you know, kidding aside, Gary and Joe, your co-director Joe Crow, their track is one of the most fun. I mean, topic aside, right? I mean, they're American Sci-Fi Classics, and we'll talk about what that means and everything. But topic aside, the people that are involved in Gary and Joe's track, American Sci-Fi Classics, are among the most entertaining, hilarious, just fun people you could ever spend a convention hanging out with. And so it really doesn't even matter what you're interested in. Just go hang out in their track for a while, and you will have a good time. Is that not an accurate description?
That is a very accurate description, sir.
I thought so. So describe the technically what your track is supposed to cover.
Technically, this American Sci-Fi Classics track covers everything pre-2000, not covered by another track, like the Star Trek track or the Whedon track. Oh, the Whedon track. They task me. So we get pretty much, it's a smorgasbord of everything, which is always what makes it fun when it comes to planning time for me and Joe, because it's like, okay, we've got 3 days and 7 days worth of convention topics. Which ones do we throw out? Which ones do we keep? Which is what led to the invention of the roller panel.
Yes. So two things then about that. One is, does that 2000 year, does that roll up behind you, or is that kind of permanent for a while, or what?
We're kind of hopeful it will roll up behind us. We get word from the Dragon Con overlords of what moves to us. Like next year, we're picking up something from Kellen. We get a lot of stuff from Kellen that we thought we had already, but apparently we get it next year. So, okay. Which I won't say to keep the interest going, but and I don't know if I have permission to tell it either. So, but yeah, so it's kind of a flexi date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we took over, that was approximately 10 years ago, and it's supposed to be pretty much anything 10 years old or older, depending on how long someone wants to hold on to something.
I see. Okay. So, like, there was a Babylon 5 track for a long time, but now that falls under your track, right?
Exactly.
Right. So, as time goes by, it kind of slides over into the classics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the thing that's so amazing about the track is because you said it's just about anything before 2000. So you get everything from the cool Saturday morning cartoons like Thundar the Barbarian and stuff to like TV shows of that era, you know, going all the way back to even movies from before 2000. I mean, that's the thing is that you're not limited by a medium, right? I mean, you're all inclusive, just about anything. Well, not really literature, right? You're more like broadcast or visual communication, right? You don't.
Yeah. We tend. I mean, we'll touch on books, but usually we leave those to the literature tracks, which are lovely tracks, and you should visit them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we tend to stick with games, movies, TV, broadcast media.
Yeah, and I mean, for example, like I did was it just last year we did the Dune?
Yes, last year.
So
you can listen to that panel on the Revcast.
Oh, there you go. That's right. And so, so for example, we had to talk about the books a little bit in order to be able to talk about the movies and the TV miniseries, but it had to have a connection. It had to have a movie or TV type of connection to make it sort of legitimately part of the American Sci-Fi Classics track, right?
Right, right. So we had both the movies and the Sci-Fi Channel versions of the movies,
mm-hmm.
or of the books of the movie of the transcript.
That's right. So first, let's look at kind of what's coming up this year, and then we can kind of look back at some of the stuff that's in the past and mm-hmm. regale our audience with some anecdotes and stories of previous things gone right and wrong. I've been on the inside of a few of those, but it's always fun. And yeah, by the way, I'm saying there are a whole lot of tracks. I mean, my listeners know that probably the track I end up hanging out on the most is the sci-fi literature track, just because I write sci-fi books. But you guys have become my strong number two. It used to be comics, but it is now, you know, American Sci-Fi Classics have kind of moved up into my have sort of taken that role, taken that spot. So it's a credit to how, you know, good of a job you guys always do and the quality of your panelists and the great topics. So we'll talk about some of your panelists too. But what kind of things can DragonCon visitors expect to find on your track this year, Gary?
Well, we tend to go off of anniversaries a lot because mm-hmm. it's easy. but like this year we've got the Goonies 30th anniversary. We've got the Back to the Future anniversary. Voltron's got an anniversary, and the lovely people at Retro Blasting are doing a presentation on Voltron. Yeah. Jaws turns 40, which is a topic near and dear to my heart. That's the first movie I ever saw in the theater.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My father, in all his wisdom, thought that the first movie for a 5-year-old to ever see on a big screen should be Jaws.
Goodness.
Yeah, warped me for life.
Well, now I got to be honest to you. When I was in, I think I was in second grade when Jaws came out, and there were people in my class talking about having seen it after it came out, and I had no idea what they were talking about. But you were not the only one around that age, apparently, that saw it. Now, whether that's a wise thing or not, I don't know. But you were not the only one, apparently.
No. There are people taking kids. I went to see Jurassic World a few weeks ago, and there was a guy who had at least 3 kids ranging from 8 to 4. I'm like, wow. You do realize people are going to get eaten in this movie, right?
Yeah, I know. We watched the first 3 over the last few months. For some reason, to prepare for this movie, and then never went and saw this movie. But yeah, Mira got about, you know, right into the first one up to the point that somebody actually got eaten on camera. And then she's like, I'm out. she was done. So she didn't watch the rest of it. So.
Yeah, well, people think kids, you know, and in their defense, kids are usually tougher than you think they are. But still, it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe wait a little bit.
That's
a whole other topic.
Yeah. Well, she watches all the James Bond movies or parts of, you know, there's a few she didn't watch. But mm-hmm. but Jurassic, that was past her interest. So, well, yeah. what else going on this year?
Well, it's fun that you mentioned Thundar the Barbarian, because we're doing a panel on Saturday Morning Sci-Fi. And he's right in the title, Thundar the Barbarian and Friends.
Demon Dogs, yes. Lords of Light. I love Thundar.
Oh, yeah, such a fun show. We're going to talk about Beneath the Planet of the Apes, the Lost in Space 50th anniversary is this year. Once again, Gil Gerard is going to be hosting Match Game in the 25th century, which is always a hoot.
Who serves as your celebrities on that? I've never known.
Whoever Gil can get. He pretty much goes into the Hall of Fame and talks to his friends.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, and that's why the first few years we were doing it in the afternoon, and that's why it was me and some of Gil's more personal friends, is that they were all the celebrities were having to be in the dealer's room and then or in the Walk of Fame. And then Gil said, you know, if you do it after 7 when the Hall of Fame closes, I can get more real celebrities. And we're like, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, so, for some reason, I've never gotten to get to see that. I'm really hoping to see it this year. I'm always having to do something else at that time, it seems like. So cross my fingers that this year I'll get to see it.
I hope so, because it's always – last year the big name he managed to score last year was John Ratzenberger.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. And the year before that, he had Sylvester McCoy. That was the last year I managed to weasel my way onto being one of the people. And I'm like – I was like, okay – Sylvester McCoy, Garrett Wang from Voyager and running the Star Trek track, the original Boomer from Battlestar Galactica, and me. Who doesn't fit in this picture?
Oh, but that had to be a thrill, man. That's awesome.
Oh, it was an absolute ball, but still, it's like, I don't belong up here.
You know, it's funny. I've gotten into Match Game the last few months, and listeners to the other show that I do, the AU Wishbone, will know that we're getting ready to do SEC Match Game tomorrow night.
Nice.
And I've already recorded the answers from 6 different celebrities to all of the questions. And then so I'm going to have my usual co-host, John, and then a secret contestant playing against him. Mm-hmm. And I've got all of their answers programmed into my soundboard on an iPad. So all I have to do is go to the panel and I can just hit buttons and each one of them gives their answers.
Nice.
That's awesome or what? Technology.
That's very awesome. Sir, is the thinking man's approach.
Well, or to spend a lot of hours putting it all together. So that's really cool. Yeah, Match Game's a lot of fun. And in fact, I think I may be stealing that for either the comics track or the sci-fi lit track next year, not this year, instead of Jeopardy. So if you're interested, folks, stay tuned for that. What else is – I know you got a whole bunch of stuff, so we haven't even scratched the surface.
Yes. Well, we're going to do one about – I think 4 James Bond movies, at least 3, with a certain gentleman of James Bond status named Van Elian Plexico. It's a weird name.
I've heard of that guy, I think, yeah.
Yeah. We've got the 75th anniversary of Robin, Shazam, the JSA, and Joker.
Wow.
We've got a panel on the Twilight Zone with a wonderful person who's making a documentary about the Twilight Zone to talk to us. It's just tons all weekend stuff to do. Our biggest celebrities that we've got this year, we've got the two gentlemen from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
The two astronauts, right?
Yes. Kira Dula and Gary Lockwood. And Gary Lockwood is making me like hyperventilate because, as anybody, you know, as you introduce me, as people should know, I am not using a fake name. Gary Mitchell is my real name.
Right.
And Star Trek fans know Lieutenant Commander Gary Mitchell. And so I'm like,
yeah, that movie came out the year I was born, actually. It was, in fact, that movie was the last big science fiction movie to come out before we landed on the moon.
Yep.
And so that's really cool. Yeah, that's one of the things that I really love about your track is that not only do you have you know, quite a few actors and, you know, people of renown from these shows and everything. But you guys always manage, the director before you, Ron Nastrom, also, y'all always manage to have really interesting experts, like people who have written books on the subject or people who have done a lot of research and can always contribute lots of just fascinating minutia that you would have to go spend like $500 on a bunch of books to get on your own. So,
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because one of our favorites, William Stout's back with us again this year. Which he was on. He was the production designer on Conan, both the Barbarian and the Destroyer. He was the production designer on Masters of the Universe, Return of the Living Dead, and is wonderful to listen to. He's got some great stories and doesn't pull any punches. And so we're doing this year like. Arnold has like 4 anniversaries, so we're just doing a Schwarza panel.
That's right.
and he's going to be joining us on that, along with that Van Allen Plexico guy again.
Yeah. And I want to point out, you mentioned the James Bond panel. That one was kind of my suggestion, although I'm sure you would have thought of it sooner or later. But the neat thing about it, like you said, three or four movies, the 1965, the first decade of Bond, we'll be talking a lot about Thunderball. And then, of course, 85's A View to a Kill, we might mention in passing.
I think we should give it the treatment it deserves.
Well, that's the treatment it deserves is an open question. we'll talk about it. And of course, 1995's GoldenEye, which is one of my favorites, which started the Pierce Brosnan era. But also, see, I always like to point out, The Man with the Golden Gun came out in 1974, not 75, which meant it came out a year after the previous one and went 3 years. But it came out in like late December of 74. Mm-hmm. And who was the arch enemy, the villain in it?
Mr. Christopher Lee.
Who just passed away. So rest assured, numbers aside, years aside, we will talk about Christopher Lee and The Man with the Golden Gun in as much length as we can get away with. So, yeah, you're right when you say it will be at least three and really four that we will discuss on that panel. I'm really looking forward to that very much.
Yes.
So,
yes, and speaking of Mr. Lee and Leonard Nimoy, who we both lost this year, we will be giving a tribute to them both.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Because, you know, we have to. I mean, it's just these guys were, I think, legendary is a mild word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they did even, you know, more stuff than people even realize. Like, I like to point out that Christopher Lee was one of the aliens on Space 1999.
Mm-hmm.
People don't even realize that. He was under a lot of makeup and stuff. But, I mean, you know, that show thrived on having British actors come on and say, "People of Alpha." And he was as good at that as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that voice. Oh, that voice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mean the guy put out a death metal album? That's like, what? Wait.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So any other things coming up this year that we haven't touched on?
Well, let's see. We're going to be showing at least two movies. We're going to show Damnation Alley.
Oh, yeah. Based on a Roger Zelazny novel, yes.
Yes. We're going to show the original, never meant to be seen by human eyes, Fantastic Four.
I've got a copy of that somewhere in the basement where it belongs.
Yeah, so with the new movie coming out, and we don't know if people are going to like the new movie or not, but regardless of your opinion of the new movie, come and compare it to the original movie. And
mm-hmm. They spent like their entire special effects budget on this like 5 second scene of the Human Torch catching on fire, which is awesome.
Yes.
In CGI.
Mm-hmm. And a giant foam rubber thing.
Yeah, foam rubber thing. And
I will say this, though. They're the only movie of the Fantastic Four so far to get Doom's look right, at least.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is something I cannot understand, Gary, is that Dr. Doom is so iconic and he's so simple. If he were more complicated, then he wouldn't be as popular, right? He's just
right.
He's like a dude in armor that wears like green stuff and a hood and a cape over the armor, and he's arrogant and he wants to rule the world and he laughs with impunity at anybody who suggests otherwise. That's him. There's not a lot more to him. And yet they can't ever get him right.
No, I mean, he's iconic and been ripped off so much. You know, I mean, how many armored guys are basically a Dr. Doom clone?
Right.
And yet when it comes to movies, it's like, nah, we can't do that. Let's make him a business executive who's been turned into metal. What? No.
What? I mean, yeah, it's like if they made four different Superman movies, and in every one of them, you know, like in one, Lex Luthor founded Facebook, and in another one, Lex Luthor was an alien, and in another one, Lex Luthor was from China or something and flew, you know, armor. You know, just do the character. How hard is it?
Yeah, although it's funny you mentioned Luthor, because that was I don't know how much you know about that Superman Lives movie that never got made. But one of the plot twists on that was that Luthor was going to be another Kryptonian.
Oh, gee. See, that undermines the entire purpose of that character. What are these people smoking?
I don't know. There's something in Hollywood. I don't know what it is. Oh, but yeah, it's like, my poor Victor. He's one of my favorite villains. And they just, he deserves so much better.
Yeah, he's a great – I mean, yeah, I was never a Fantastic Four fan that much.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, there's two characters in the Fantastic Four's little corner of the Marvel Universe that are just, to me, in terms of character, right, in terms of, like, writing them and how their personalities are and everything, are iconic, and that's the Thing and Doctor Doom.
Yes.
And they're both very simple.
And they both make great guest stars.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. And I mean
that's when you knew a superhero had arrived, is when Doom showed up in around issue 5 or 6 to go, well, who are you? Can I push you around? Okay.
And when the Thing came over to play poker with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And smoke some cigars and say, hey, yeah, bug wall crawler, you know, stuff like that. These are simple characters, and they keep making them too complicated and screwing up.
Well, in the new movie, the Thing's not blue-eyed.
Oh, no. And he doesn't wear pants.
Catchphrase. He's the ever-living blue-eyed Thing.
Yeah. He's not wearing pants. What's up with that?
Hey, you tell him to put on some pants. That's all I'm saying.
Somebody needs to tell him to put on some pants. Somebody
Mr.
needs
Grimm?
To...
Mr. Grimm? Okay, I'll be over here. But yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know what to think about that. But all right. Any other events or stuff looking forward to this year at DragonCon?
Well, I don't want to give away the whole
no,
shebang,
sure.
But
sure.
We are going to be once again doing Truly Outrageous, which is one of is a panel near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. It was my idea. It's a look at female heroes of classic sci-fi, and it's an all-lady panel every year.
That's
well, except last year. They made me moderate last year. none of the others like, come on, moderate. No, you do it. I don't want it. It's all no. Okay. but yeah, that's always a wonderful discussion. And if all goes well, we'll actually have someone from the Star Trek franchise on there.
If we're lucky. Neat. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, I haven't really looked at who the TV guests are this year. So are there any that you know of offhand that we should be bearing in mind just in general for the whole convention?
The whole convention? I know a whole smattering of I know there's a Lost Girl person. There's a whole smattering of the Warehouse 13 people are coming back. Hmm. I haven't been paying too close of attention because usually I'm too busy with my stuff.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. For a while there, the whole, like almost the whole Babylon 5 cast would come almost every mm-hmm. year, but it's been a while since they've done that. And usually have quite a few Star Trek people too.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking in terms of people that are listening and have maybe never been to Dragon Con before. It's hard to believe that there are people like that, but there are people and people that listen to my show that have never been. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you correct me if I'm wrong here or back me up on this, but the thing about one of the things about Dragon Con, when you compare it to like a Comic Con, like San Diego Comic Con or these other Comic Cons that pop up around the country, those conventions are usually kind of focused around two things. They're focused around having just a handful of TV movie sort of celebrities or semi-celebrities signing autographs, and then like some comic book artists who will draw sketches for people, and then like a dealer room with lots of old back issues, right? And
right.
People pay like $100 to get into those things. But if you come to Dragon Con, it might cost a little bit more than the average convention, but my goodness, you're getting access to so much more than you'd get it at most of those little comic cons. It's had dozens of celebrities and then dozens and dozens and dozens of panels and discussions and tracks and music and bands and movies and whew.
Oh, yeah. I just remembered this year we're getting a good chunk of the Arrow cast. Stephen Amell and what's his name who plays the Diggle.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They're coming. Which makes me happy because last year, you know, John Barrowman's going to be there.
Oh, cool. Yeah. From Doctor Who and Arrow.
Yes.
That's Captain Jack and from Torchwood, right?
Right. So he's going to be all over the place and he's a trip if you get a chance to
meet him.
But you're right. I mean, the big thing about Dragon Con for me is aside from the fact that it's like 30 different conventions going on at the same time and is what separates it from the San Diego Comic Cons or the big Comic Cons is the fact that it is fan run.
Yeah.
There's like one paid employee of Dragon Con, and that's the person who sits in the office answering the mail. Everybody else is a volunteer. You know, so it doesn't – which is why we don't get – you know, San Diego, you'll go see Hall H with all the Marvel people and all this stuff. And Dragon Con doesn't get that because it's not corporate.
Right, right. Yeah, just looking at their this is mind blowing. Just looking at the featured guest page, just at the top of it, there's like Scott Adsit from 30 Rock. He was the producer guy, the bald guy that used to argue and bicker with what's her name on there. Like you said, Stephen Amell, Kevin J. Anderson, who's a big time writer. Jamie Bamber, Apollo from Battlestar Galactica, John Barrowman that you talked about, Kristen Bauer from True Blood, Trace Ballou from Mystery Science Theater 3000, Amber Benson. I mean, this is just the A's and B's, and already it's like, good Lord, yeah. Jim Butcher. So
They've already announced, and now I'm going to lose my nerd card because I forgot, Peter Mayhew.
Oh, Chewbacca.
Yes.
Wow. Very nice. It looks like quite a few Battlestar Galactica people are going to be there this year. That's interesting. I wonder which track has them in.
Right now, they're still under Kelly or Kellen under the American or the current America Media track.
Sort of like contemporary as opposed to the classics, like you guys have. Okay. So, well, that's pretty cool. So, tell me about in terms of like panels and stuff. I want to dig into some of the stuff that's gone on in your track in the past that we've been involved in. What was that panel that we did last year where we had like a world record for the most panelists sitting on there at the same time?
Did we? That was Rolla panel.
We ended up with like 18 people at the table.
At least 18. It was quite a few, and we're bringing it back this year because it was very popular. What it is Joe and I always have like about 40 different things that we want to talk about that we don't get to, that we just don't have room for. And then we hit on the idea last year of, well, what if we put all of them into one thing and had someone roll a die and we would have a 5-minute mini panel on whichever one of those topics came up. And we met this wonderful gentleman who actually is going to kill me because I don't remember his name either because I'm terrible with names. But he's another just attendee of the con. And he does this Dungeon Master from the cover of the old D&D books cosplay, which involves having a table in front of him and two giant dice. And Joe got in touch with him, and he made us a custom giant D20 with the topic on each one. And if you come to the track, you can actually come see the D20.
Yeah.
And what it is we get all the panelists up on top. And we have someone in the audience roll the die, and whatever comes up, we have a little mini 5-10 minute conversation on. And we're doing it again this year.
Awesome.
Because it was a hoot. Now we're going to try to be a little more organized on who talks, because last year it was more of a ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of hard to avoid when you kind of have those things come together spontaneously. I mean, everybody has a thought they want to throw out there in a limited amount of time.
Oh, yeah. So we're trying to work on some way to kind of organize a little, but we may not be able to just because, like you said, it's a little, but it's definitely happening, and it is a treat to watch just for the randomness. And I will tell you now, Waterworld is on the die.
Do we have to talk about it if it rolls up? I mean,
if it rolls up, we got to talk about it.
Oh gosh. Am I on that one? I don't even know.
Everybody who wants to be is on that one.
Okay. Well, then I'll show up for sure. I did it last year and it was a lot of fun. So
yeah. And there's some good stuff on there. Stepford Wives, Death Race 2000 is on there.
Oh my goodness.
The Sound of Music, because it's got an anniversary this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I finally got to see that for the first time a couple of years ago. Yeah, this is one of the issues that I always face, and I don't know. I'm sure there's other guests that run into this, which is that I end up doing stuff for probably over the years, I've probably done stuff for about 10 different tracks. Some of them only one or two things here or there. Some of them, four or five things at least every year. And so what ends up happening is that I'll end up missing things I want to do on one track because I'm scheduled to do something on another track. You know, in other words, they always the track directors and the guest services people and the programming people and all that. They always do a great job of kind of making it fit together to where I'm not duplicated anywhere. I don't have to bring a clone to the convention to do two at the same time. I know that's really hard with all the guests and all the events. I mean, it must be a nightmare, but. Even then there will be things I want to go to, even if I'm not officially on them. And sometimes you just can't do it because you have to be somewhere else, So you know, it's always disappointing. Y'all have done a bunch of stuff over the years that I've wanted to be at and just couldn't because I had to be somewhere else. So,
yeah, that's one of the facets of Dragon Con that is like you're always looking at the schedule and going, I want to see all three of these things and they're at the same time.
At the same time. And in three different hotels. So you couldn't even like run from one to the other because you'd spend all your time in the halls. And yeah, you with Dragon Con, you kind of have to go in advance having already figured out the things you want to do. And then you have to be there because if you try to go from one to another during the hour, it's just probably not going, unless it's right next door, it's just not happening.
Yeah. And I know people that try to do that or have or say they successfully have done that. They show up, they get the program, and they decide each day, okay, well, I'm going to go see this, and I'll do this. And then, and I just can't do that. We've just started posting the track schedules now on the Facebook group, which you should check out, the American Sci-Fi Classics, Facebook.com.
Yep.
Just search for it. You'll find us. We've started leaking the current schedule as it stands, which with the caveat that until the panel has actually happened, it's in flux.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it may not have happened. You're not sure.
Yeah, and I've started seeing the sci-fi literature panels times and topics and guests coming out too. So I take it to mean that the end of July is when everybody has turned everything in tentatively and it's starting to take shape since I'm seeing you guys and theirs both.
Yeah, yeah. We're supposed to have it done by about mid-July. For finalization. And
okay.
Everything is still in flux because they're still adding guests. Last year we had to completely redo one day because they said, oh, by the way, Ralph Macchio and, I think it was Kevin Dillon and the guy who was the villain in the Karate Kid are all coming in. They're yours. Or we were going to do just, an hour with Peter Weller talking about Buckaroo Banzai, and then they said, oh, Nancy Allen's coming as well, so turn it into a RoboCup panel. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, wow. That's amazing. And it had right up to the very end, that's still happening. So.
Oh, yeah.
Woo, you got to be on your feet. Yeah, this every now and then I think about wanting to have to put together a track at Dragon Con, and then I think about all the stuff that you guys have to do, and I think, I don't want to do it that badly.
That's the reason Joe and I do it together. And again, I have to give all props to Joe. He is the head guy. I'm the assistant. And give it up to Ron, who did a great job with the track before he passed it off to us.
Absolutely.
The reason we both decided when Ron announced that he was going to retire from this, Joe and I were like, well, both of us want to do it, but neither one of us wants to do it by ourselves. Because that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't imagine that. And the fact that I cannot imagine is why I'm scared to ever do something like that. I've talked over the years and I don't try to keep these secret. I mean, I want somebody else to do it so that I can go to it, but not have to do all the work. See,
right.
I want somebody to put together, secret agents and super spies and do a whole programming track all weekend on James Bond and Archer and Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Flynn and all those great, you know, Jason Bourne. There's just so many things that could be done on a track like that, but I'm not going to be the one to do it. And there'd be so many actors. I mean, try to get some of the old Bond related actors and actresses, you know, and, and that kind of stuff would be awesome. So, and there's others too that would be neat, but, I'm not going to do it. So if I still lived in Atlanta, I might think about it, but being, you know, because you're off, you know, you've moved out to the West Coast now. So,
yes.
And I'm in the middle of the Midwest. So yeah, that's just not happening. So
yeah, it's an extra work. I mean, Kellen lives in Florida, so she's able to drive up for some of the big meetings, but you don't have to attend all of them. I don't think Joe's been to one yet.
There's a shock.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like basically there's thankfully with the world of the internet, it's a matter of, okay, we put our schedule together, we tell them, they tell us what we're doing, and
right,
and it goes from there.
Yeah, yeah. So, what has been some of your you were talking about doing sort of unorthodox stuff like roller panel.
Yes,
there's the idea that's kind of popped up here and there of the between panels. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh God, that came out of just a beautiful. We had the panel of your we kind of sponged off your Starship Smackdown.
Right, right.
And we did a vehicle Smackdown.
Mm-hmm.
The winner being the Aston Martin, if I remember correctly.
Probably.
No, it was the Batmobile.
I think those two went against each other at the end, maybe.
Was the final. It was the Aston Martin versus the Batmobile, and the Batmobile came up on top.
Yeah.
And we finished, and we had a few minutes to spare, and we decided, well, next year we'll do Monkeys versus Minions, which I think it was Joe.
Probably.
We'll do it now! And we had a quick little, like, 15, 20 minute, and it went into the time between panels. Mm-hmm. Panel. Whole other contest. And it was hysterical. And it
Monkeys
was, it was,
and Minions.
Yes, Monkeys versus Minions, and Peter Tork came up on top.
and Enos, right? And,
Yeah, Enos. Oh, yeah, it was Enos. Enos won because he has a gun.
Yeah, yeah, it was Enos versus some, like...
Yeah, it was Peter Tork from the Monkees at the end.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Oh, he was the monkey. Right, right.
Right,
he is in some ways both a monkey and a minion.
Yes.
So that's...
Which gave him a double edge.
It worked out well. That's right, yeah, so...
Yeah, and I still have pictures, I believe, on my Facebook wall of the two final... the brackets, the two sets in the brackets. And so we tried to do that last year, and the results are still in flux of whether or not it was a good idea.
No,
but
we
tried it, by God.
I got all excited. I thought, well, we could fit in a panel in that wouldn't really deserve an hour, but maybe we could do it in between. What I neglected to consider was that you would have the crowd from the previous topic panel and the crowd coming in for the next one, but you would have nobody there for the one you actually were trying to talk about, and so nobody would care. Yeah. And I unless it's something like Monkees versus Minions where everybody would just get into it. So I from my perspective, but you can do with this what you will. But from my perspective, what I observed is those things work if it's a wacky topic that everybody can easily get into for a few minutes. That's mm-hmm. That would be my diagnosis. So, so if you do any more of them, I would stick to things that are fun and that everybody wants to jump in on, not topical like TV shows and stuff. So,
yeah,
that was my bad. So, speaking of SmackDown, I did notice that when the Sci-Fi Lit Track panels, tentative panel list started coming out this morning, that we are going to be doing Starship SmackDown. I don't remember what day or time, but at some point I will be hosting another round of Starship SmackDown, which is like the Monkees versus Minions. It's where we get the audience to shout out, like, we get the 16 best suggestions from the audience and put them in brackets like the NCAA basketball tournament. And then we have judges and we battle them out until there's a final winner. So it's that's a neat format. I stole it from San Diego. So it's been everybody steals it from everybody because it's a neat little panel format. So we'll be doing that.
Yes. It's going to be fun. But it always is. I mean, it's a lot of work. And we were getting back to the idea there's always so much going on.
Yeah.
That's one of the few downsides of running this thing is there's a, it's always troublesome trying to see everything you want to see anyway. And now for me, it's even harder because it's like, I have to be in the room, but I want to go see this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've noticed over the years that track directors, sometimes they'll just kind of live in the room. Other times you hardly ever see them. I figure they're out either having to deal with, you know, on the fires that are catching fire with, mm-hmm. with guests and everything, or they're just trying to go actually enjoy some of the convention themselves, which is perfectly understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are times you can sneak out, and there are times, like, you know, like I said, all the panels, the tracks starting to release their schedules, it's like, okay, it's like a military campaign. All right, this is in this hotel, and I can go see this, and I'll go over here. And you always have a backup, because, you know, there are two things you want to see at the same time. And for me, it's just, with Joe, it's easy to trade off. Okay, you go run around and go get something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which God bless that little cheeseburger stand that the hotels put up. They're expensive, but they're right there.
Right there, yeah. Yeah, it really makes you wonder how every track doesn't have to have like two people so that you can swap out and eat and, you know, live your life for a few minutes.
Well, every panel or every track is allowed a certain number of minions.
Yeah.
That work for us. We have a wonderful crew, and we can trust them to leave them in the charge of the room for at least an hour.
That would be the minimum.
James Palmer is back this year and is going to be one of our minions.
Awesome.
So it's good to have him back. He's been out for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Don is back with us again, and he is great and a wonderful, takes a lot of pictures. He's great.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, Jessa is a minion now, and we've got Robin So we've got a handful of people that was like, okay, I need to go get food. You watch the room. I'll be back.
Or when, you know, celebrity pitching fit in bathroom, or somebody's not showing up, or somebody's late, or, you know, I'm sure you deal with just constant fire to put out all the time.
Well, let me tell you my favorite situation for that, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We were having a panel with, and you should remember this, it was, we had two panels with Bruce Boxleitner and Mia Furlane.
Yes. I was the interviewer on one of those, right?
Yes. And I was the interviewer for the second one.
Oh, okay.
And it was on Saturday. So I go running over to the room, and because of traffic and just sheer number of people, I got there maybe about 5 minutes before the panel was supposed to start, which for me was like, I'm late.
Mm.
Excuse me. So I go running in, you know, I show the guy at the door. No, I have to get in. And room's packed. I go running up to the thing, and I look at the guys, and I'm like, okay, sorry I'm late. Where's Bruce and Mia? And they go, they're not here yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Wait, what? And they're like, we can't find them. I'm like, what?
You know, I got to pause here. That's very interesting, because that happened to me too. I was on time and everything. I was there before they even opened the doors. You know, I was standing around. But yeah, they got there about 10 minutes into their time. So yeah, so neither day were they there when they were supposed to be, interestingly.
Yeah. Well, in Mia's case, her driver got confused bringing her from the hotel, because instead of going from peach tree to peach tree to peach tree, he went from peach tree to peach tree to peach tree.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How could anybody make that mistake?
Exactly.
It's peach tree, peach tree, peach tree, people.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Atlanta.
Who doesn't know it or has never been, we're being serious. There are like four peach tree streets around the hotels.
Yeah, this is Atlanta. Everything is Peachtree Street. You mean,
and it's not like Peachtree Street and Peachtree Court and Peachtree Way. It's all Peachtree Street. Just this one runs northeast, north south, and the other runs east west, and the other one runs from like Moscow to the Hudson.
And one's diagonal.
Yeah,
there's the one that V's out right there where the AmeriSuites used to be or whatever. So did they come wandering in finally? So, I'm assuming.
So we get the word that she's running late, is her driver's lost. And Bruce Boxleitner, apparently the person they sent to go get him got lost.
No.
So here I am standing in front of a packed room of about, I'd say, at least 200 people.
Yeah.
And I start tap dancing my ass off. Hey, what do you guys think of this? What do you think about that? Now, wonderfully, one of my friends has managed to be there, and he said I did a great job.
I'm sure.
To me, I'm up there. I'm inside. I'm sweating. I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying. What am I doing? Finally, we managed to throw out the idea of, hey, does anybody here have the DVDs on them? So we throw in an episode of the show because we've got to do something, or these people are going to start eating each other.
Right. Right.
And we get about 10 minutes into the episode and Mia shows up. And so we stop the running, get Mia up there. And she's been going for about a good 5 minutes when Bruce Boxleitner rips open the back doors to the room and strides in bellowing, hell of a way to run a space station.
Nice.
Yes.
Excellent.
Well, that man knows the value of a good entrance.
I wish I could have. I got to be honest with you. And I've always said I can meet most celebrities, most people of great accomplishment. I can meet them and be totally comfortable. I'm outgoing enough, you know, but there are a few people in life that have meant so much to me with what they did that I'm intimidated. And so when you first said that you had those two coming in, and I immediately like, me, I want to be the one. I want to interview them. Yes, please. And you guys graciously said, okay, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And then I think you were kind of like, you're going to do both. And I'm like, both?
Yeah, that's what I would. No. I got one. I called dibs on one.
Cause the thought of having, I mean, you can ask my wife. Every year I go to Dragon Con, I meet celebrities, I meet people, it's great. But the thought of having to get up there with Captain Sheridan and DeLynn, mm-hmm. I was sweating bullets. I was, you know, nervous. To have to do it again the next day, I don't think I could have physically done it.
Yeah.
And I realize that's silly, but you got to understand, Babylon 5 has always been my favorite single thing in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I, you know... But it did give me the opportunity to to and by the way, this is what we're talking about now is I think this was about three episodes ago on this show. So if you're listening to this just randomly, if you go back to around episode 71, 72, 73, somewhere in there, there is the audio from that entire panel where I interviewed them. And it let me do one of my favorite introductions I've ever gotten to do, where they sat down and everybody's cheering. Do you know what I said? Have you ever heard it or seen it?
Yeah, I have. Yes.
Yeah. I said, I wouldn't be this excited to meet Barack and Michelle. And they're just like, whoa, you know, what's that all about? And I said, because they are only the president and first lady of the United States. You two are the president and first lady of the galaxy. And the place just erupted and it was great. So that worked out pretty well. I was proud of that one.
And that's a good one.
And I appreciate you guys, you giving me the opportunity to do that, because that was one of the highlights of my DragonCon life so far, was being up there with those two. Wow.
It's great. And I got my picture with them afterwards, which they were very gracious to do that. And looking at the picture, you can still see the remains of the panic in my eyes.
The blind fear. Yes. Yeah, well, they were late coming into mine, but I just kind of lurked in the background and kind of said, if the audience starts eating each other, so be it. I washed the blood from my hands. You know, it's the sin be on the head of the celebrities and not me, because I'm here. But that was very smart to find a DVD.
And they were very also gracious. Like, it was like a 10-year-old kid who had them. And he was very. They were both gracious enough to sign it for him, since he.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So, yeah. What are some of the other highlights of you and Joe's run on this track over the last? It's been longer than I realized.
This is year four, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It's year four, year five.
Yeah.
No, 2001 was our first year, so this is year four. And man, it after as much as I love it, it kind of like starts to blur after a while.
You mean 2011, right?
Cause yeah, 2011.
That would be 15 years. Okay, my math was a little bit off there. Okay, so yeah.
Yes, yeah, 2011. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I still think 1990 was 10 years ago.
I know exactly what you mean. I knew exactly what happened when you said that. I'm like, yeah, I'm the same. I know exactly. Okay, so you're 4 years. What's kind of happened that's been awesome?
One of my favorite panels, and I wish someone had recorded it. Our first year, we did 1982.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was our first year was 2002.
12.
That's how I always remember. 2012. 12!
This is exactly.
My brain.
I know. It seems like it's like that 2002 was about 4 years ago. It totally does.
Okay, so but 2012 was our first year because we did 1982. We did the year in movies in 1982 because we looked at it. And if you look at 1982, there are a ton of iconic movies that came out in 1982.
Yeah.
John Carpenter's The Thing, E.T., Poltergeist. And we did a panel all just on that.
Mm.
And it was an amazing conversation. We talked about the movies, you know, Blade Runner.
Yes.
Wow. We talked about the movies that came out, what caused all these great movies to come out at the same time, how much that movie has just influenced sci-fi in general from that point forward because of the movies that came out. And literally we've had people and Ron came up after the panel and said that was one of the best panels he'd ever seen in his life.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it was me and I think Tegan Hendrickson was on there. Phantom Troublemaker was on there, and that's the first time I met him, and he is a wonderful human being.
Hmm.
And has a great podcast, Needless Things. Look it up. And it was also, I think, Mike Faber was there. It was my first meeting a lot of the ESO guys. Mike Gordon was on it.
Right.
And it was just a phenomenal conversation. Sean Rosato from Sean Castic was on.
These are like your regular big panelists here.
Yeah. And so it was both because it was good because we got to meet all them and work with them for the first time. And it was just a great discussion. And so we were very happy about that.
That's awesome.
And for me, that's one that sits in my memory. And I still go, I wish we had recorded that.
Yeah, everything pretty much now gets recorded. In fact, I got to tell you, I just got me a new iPhone 6 Plus with 64 gigabytes of memory. So I will be recording basically everything I can this year. Last year, I brought a backup phone that my wife had used, and I recorded a lot of my panels on it. And when I got home, about half of them were blank.
Ooh.
Including my interview with Harry Turtledove, which was just a dagger in the heart that didn't get recorded. And nobody apparently – it was not on YouTube or anything. So yeah, I'm going to be recording everything I can on my nice new spiffy phone and there getting some videos and stuff too. So you can you listeners out there can expect if you don't make it to Dragon Con, you'll get to hear a fair chunk of what I experienced there in the weeks to come afterwards. So that'll be fun.
Yes. Yeah, and speaking of presenters, I mean, we've got you, we've got the ESO guys who are lovely people.
Yep.
Including
that's our mothership.
Yep, the mothership, including Dr. Geek, and the lovely Debbie Vigay always show up. And that was a great panel last year. We actually managed to do two panels Thursday night. And we were going to do Thursday panels again this year, but we got shut down.
Yeah, I saw that. What exactly happened there? You talked about kind of expanding out to Thursday night.
When they sent out the DragonCon Overlord sent out the, okay, plug in your schedule here.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday was on there. And so last year we went, great. And we put two panels on Thursday. Apparently there was an error in the computer setup. And when they sent it out this year and we went, great. They went, oh, that's a mistake. Don't put anything in Thursday. We were like, you just robbed us of 3 hours. That's three panels.
I have to be honest though. I mean, it is neat, but I kind of I generally fly down to Atlanta usually Thursday afternoon, middle of the day.
Yeah.
And Thursday evening is usually my time to visit with friends around Atlanta that I don't get to see even at the convention, right? It's like visiting Atlanta people that aren't coming to Dragon Con. I usually go and have dinner with different people and go watch football with them. And so I was disappointed for you guys, but I was kind of like, at least there's not another thing competing for my very limited time because there's so much to do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of nice to have one night where you're not having to, you know, miss out on something else. But
yeah, see, me and there's a lot of people now that do this show up on Wednesday now.
Yeah.
And Wednesday is becoming the new Thursday. And there are people now – last year there were people showing up on Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? It started to turn into tailgating before a big football game, you know.
Uh-huh.
Because we used to – when John and I were my Wishbone co-host and I, when we were both in school in Auburn back in the 80s, we used to joke that, you know, for like the Iron Bowl, the RVs would show up in the parking lot where you couldn't go to class on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is turning into the kind of thing where people show up days in advance just to hang out and socialize days before the actual event even starts.
Oh, yeah. There are so many different Dragon Con groups if you look on Facebook. There's the over 40 group. There's the weight loss group. There's the anime group. I mean, if there is a, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the convention itself. There's, you know, if there's something you're into, there's a group for it. There's a panel track for it.
I'm going to start three of them this afternoon now that you say that.
And they're all planning their meetups. They're all planning the, okay, on Wednesday or Friday or Thursday, we'll hang out at this pool or that or the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like for the longest time, the joke was, you know, I mean, I remember the first time I went, we showed up Friday morning. We left Thursday night from North Carolina and got there Friday morning. And now it's like if I don't show up on Wednesday, I feel like I'm late.
Yeah. I was just about to say. See, the thing that's amazing is it works so great that it's on Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I usually only have to miss one day of work, and if I play my cards right,
mm-hmm.
I can set my schedule up for fall to not have any Friday classes if it works out well, and so I really only end up missing maybe like a late Thursday class. To go to the, you know, or Thursday afternoon class, or, you know, if my classes are all Thursday morning, then I do classes and then I go straight to the airport and get down to Atlanta about 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But because the Monday, you know, the do panels and go to see Robot Battles Monday morning and then come home Monday afternoon, that's Labor Day. So you're good to go on Tuesday back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do basically Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and not have to take any time off of work if you're lucky. But if we have to back this sucker all the way back out to Wednesday, that means two things. It means missing a whole solid Thursday and part of Wednesday of work, and it means another hotel night.
Yes.
Which is
cha-ching,
cha-ching. Yes.
Yeah, I'm staying at a whole different hotel Wednesday night just because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And the other hotels were sold out.
Right. Well, and plus you probably don't have to be down right on top of things as much that,
no.
Right. For example, if I were to go in on a Wednesday, I would have absolutely no reason to be anywhere near downtown Atlanta on Wednesday or night or Thursday morning. I'd be out like in, Woodstock area, you know, or somewhere further out where the people I know are. So,
oh, yeah.
Why spend, you know, $250 on an extra night hotel if you don't have to be right in the middle of Atlanta?
Exactly. Yeah, and I've got it now that I'm running the con. I have to be there on Thursday for other reasons. I got to get the room prepped. I got to get all our ducks in a row and that sort of thing. But you know, even if I was just attending, when I was just attending, I was still showing up on Thursday, mm-hmm. just because like it was nice to arrive on Thursday and have the trip and then go check into the room and then spend Thursday going ugh. So I could be fresh on Friday.
Right, and plus you can on Thursday get your credentials and everything.
Exactly.
Like I usually get down there Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening and get my badge and all that squared away so that I can just show up immediately on Friday and go right into stuff and not have to go deal with all the administrative stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember when I first started going to the convention, nothing happened on Friday till at least 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And now first thing, 10 a.m. Friday morning, we're going.
Yeah. It's a nonstop thrill ride from Friday morning until Monday afternoon, pretty much. Yeah. I are there any things that go on regularly at DragonCon that are outside of your track that you have been kind of like they've been your tradition to do over the years?
Well, I always try to make one run through the Walk of Fame.
Okay.
And since they moved it over into the Marriott, that's been much easier. Because it's almost like diagonally directly across from us. And I'll do it like once or twice because I don't like to stand in a lot of lines.
Yeah.
But with it being right there, I can make a quick run through and, oh, John Barrowman's only got 3 people in line now. Boom. Which is how I managed to get his autograph. I went there right about 20 minutes before it closed and he had 3 people. I'm like, well, this is never going to happen again.
Right. Yeah. Just catch it at the right time. That's good.
Yeah. I always try to hit at least one, if not two of the concerts at night.
Mm-hmm.
Because they usually get some great musicians, Calabrese, Voltaire. Every year I got to see Voltaire. He makes me happy. And there are people that that's all they show up for is the concerts. They never go to anything during the day. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. That's
again,
amazing.
I also know a few cosplayers that never go to any panels. They just show up all day and walk around in costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that's the other thing I always do is I've got my camera and once the day our panel tracks and everything is over around 11 o'clock, I'll find a spot usually in the Marriott and I'll sit and just watch the parade of people and take pictures of costumes. And that's when I get most of my costume pictures done.
Yeah, I was just like the musical acts that I used to enjoy. I haven't seen them there in a while. Was Three Quarter Ale? Did you ever see them?
Yeah, they were fun.
I liked them a lot. And they're the guy. There were two girls and a guy. And the guy actually, I did a convention in North Carolina one time, and I did Marvel DC Jeopardy, and he was one of the contestants. He wanted to play, so that was really fun. Cool. So and my daughter listened to their CDs for a while. My favorite thing that I have no connection to whatsoever is when Kelly Lockhart every year does robot battles on Monday.
Yeah.
He's such a good – you know that over the years I've done a lot of hosting, emceeing, you know, contests. Like same kind of stuff that Joe likes to do. I've done a lot of it too, you know, like Jeopardy and SmackDown and all that. Well, I got to say that the person I always emulated was Kelly Lockhart because he is so good with the crowd. You know, he's so good at keeping things moving. He should have been a game show host. He's a radio guy, I think, right? But, but he's very good at that. And so he makes robot battles into like WWE, you know, stuff going on. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, it's a very similar skill set to being a panelist. You've got to be able to work the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that people, don't always appreciate the certain skill set and the work that goes into being a decent panelist on any panel. I mean, you know, you've got to, you know, you can't be too self-indulgent. You've got to kind of be a constantly conscious of what the audience is getting from you. And are you being boring? Are you being interesting? You know, are you making it worth their while? I always try to bear in mind, you know, am I boring the audience or am I giving them added value? You know,
Are their eyes starting to glaze over?
Right. Yeah. I think some people just, you know, some people that just maybe aren't as familiar with doing that kind of thing, just, you know, the natural mistake is to kind of geek out yourself and lose touch with reality around you. So, it's always good to think about. So,
or to try to dominate the panel and not let anybody else talk, which is why you need a strong moderator. But
yeah, that's a very good point.
Joe and I have been very, very lucky with our panelists because, you know, we've got you, we've got the ESO guys. I want to give a shout out to Gina, who started out as just one of the regulars. Like, oh, there's Gina again. Hey, Gina. We've got a regular crew of attendees, and eventually, if you do show up enough, and you know what you're doing, we will throw you up there. We are always looking for volunteers.
Michael Bailey is another one.
Yes.
The last couple of years, I got to know Michael because he used to come to be a contestant in our comics, you know, Marvel DC Jeopardy every year, and became kind of a friend that way. And I started listening to his podcast. He does Views from the Long Box and some other things. And I've noticed that he's been showing up more and more in your track now.
Yeah. Well, he's a great guy and knows his stuff.
Yeah.
We've got Keith R. DeCandido shows up on a frequent basis.
I've heard of him.
Yep. Kevin Batchelder, Phantom Troublemaker, who I mentioned before. Tegan Hendrickson, Sue Kreisen. I always mangle her last name, and I always feel bad about it. I believe it's Kreisen with her. She runs the Anomaly podcast, and she's on Women at Warp. She's fantastic. And she still wants to kill me for something I did to her last year. We were doing a panel, I think it was on The Wizard of Oz. And she was on it along with three or four other people. And I just looked at her about 5 minutes before the panel started. And I went, okay, Sue, you're moderating. I'm going to go get some lunch. And she was like, wait, what? I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, there is a danger of a drive-by moderating happening at any time when you're on a panel.
If
the moderator doesn't show up or has to do something, you may suddenly have been driven by moderated.
Yes.
Last few couple of seconds here before we run out of time. Anything else from the past or the present or the future that the potential con goers should know and should bear in mind coming to your track or if they should come to your track?
We believe in a strong audience participation on almost all of our panels. So expect us to ask questions and throw things out and don't be afraid to answer. You should have become prepared to have fun. We do sing-alongs at times. And just really, if there's anything in the pop culture past that you love, especially if you're an 80s, 90s kid like me, you will find something to enjoy.
Yeah. Oh, I second that completely. There's always something fun going on. And like, you know, kind of to end where we began, I said it doesn't even matter so much what the topic is, because I think you just pointed out very clearly that you always manage to get a bunch of people who are not only knowledgeable about the topics, but they are podcast hosts in their own right. You know, they have a experience talking to an audience, and so they're interesting and fun and knowledgeable. And I mean, yeah, I mean, when you can put together a group of people like that in a room for like 4 or potentially 5 days and throw out a bunch of fun topics, it is a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, there's a reason that people call it nerdy gras.
I hadn't really heard it that way, but I like it. Okay.
Yeah, and it's Joe, and that's the way Joe and I look at it. It's a weekend long festival of fun. And yeah. You know, one of our guiding principles is there are no guilty pleasures. There's just pleasures.
I like it.
If it's something you like and you nerd out about it, come out, be proud of it. Joe, Manimal.
Yes. Most infamous one of all. That's right. All right. Well, it sounds like my daughter and her little friend have come over to start raising Cain in my house. It's going to get very loud. So let's go ahead and wrap up. Gary, I appreciate so much you coming on. It's always so good to talk to you and hang out with you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in just a few short weeks.
I know. I'm looking forward to it as well. You're one of my favorite people, Van.
Oh, and likewise. Absolutely true. All right. And what about the website, Gary?
You can find us on – you can find me at revolutionsf.com or on Twitter as Gary_Mitchell with one L. And as I said earlier, it's my real name. And you can find us on the Facebook at Dragon Con American Sci-Fi Classics.
Awesome. Yeah, everybody come on out to Dragon Con and be sure to check out Gary and Joe's track American Sci-Fi Classics. You will have a good time.
Yes,
all right.
We keep the con going all year on the Facebook panel.
You do. And yeah, that's right. The Facebook page for it is a blast. All right. Thanks a bunch, Gary. And the Rocket's going to get on out of here for another week. We will see you guys down the road.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.